had a moment of not sure where Pastor Maddox was, but apparently he'll be here in a few minutes. So, but until then, Phil, do you want to come back and get us started? And then when Herman gets here, I mean, actually,
this is Mr. Day.
Hi. If anybody didn't get donuts, we were a little late getting here. They're in the back, so help yourself before we get started here. Phil, did you want to get us started with the morning routine? You want me to do that? All right. I'll let you do it, and then I'll do the...
All right, good morning. Let's start with a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this assembly together and for a chance to praise you in song and giving and the study of your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for each and every moment you've given us with these young people in their lives. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that each and every word imparted in the power of your Spirit will remain with them as they prepare to go forth into the world. Lord, we pray that they might build their lives in a relationship with you and in a manner that pleases you. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing and your guidance in all that we do this morning, that we might do it in the power of your Spirit and to the glory of our Lord and Savior, for it's in his precious name that we pray, sir. Amen. Well, good morning to we don't fill this room up so much very often. I'm intimidated. I only had six for the early class. Well, this is a weekend of first, and I can't remember last time Herman took a vacation, and he's never been late before. So, yeah, there we go. Well, yeah, let's start with a song this morning. If our cameraman could, you know, come forward and lead us in a word of song.
After we sing this song, we're going to let him speak. Would you stand as we sing, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand?
Page number
337.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not cross the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Third verse.
His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, in is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone, all this to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
You be seated, please.
Okay, good morning. We have a lot of visitors here this morning. We have a lot we want to get covered this morning. So let's quickly go through some things. First of all, even though we have a busy Sunday, let's do not forget we want to talk about those that we need to be in prayer for. And first of all, we give thanks that Kit's wife made it home from Greece okay. And so we're thankful for that. And As far as a prayer request, let me start off with Judah's brother Ronnie. We prayed two weeks ago in regard to him having cancer. Well, it went into his spine and it's approaching his brain, and if it gets there, that's pretty much it. So it would be in prayer that the doctor, that his body responds to what the doctor is aggressively doing to prevent that. Let's see, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
I go in on Wednesday.
You go in Wednesday.
For a little heart procedure.
Heart procedure, oh wow. There is no such thing as a little heart procedure. I mean, you're dealing with that.
So anyway, I got to go have a little something fixed.
Okay.
On Wednesday. 10 o'clock.
All right, will they intrude into your body, into heart?
Yeah.
Wow, okay, well, then let's be in prayer. That's very important. All right, so it's Wednesday, so let's be in prayer for Tish. Yes, sir.
A young man named Mike had worked on a brain tumor. They thought they got it, but it's come back.
And his name is Mike?
Mike.
Let's be in prayer for Mike. Any other prayer requests that I'm not? Yes, sir. Wow.
Because she's the only donor of the bone marrow, my father. And so it's a real struggle because both of them are now having to be watched very.
Is the daughter going to do it?
She has already done it.
She's already done it, right?
She had to give her kidney as well.
Well, then let's be in prayer. My goodness, for her, how old is she?
She is now 14. At the time she gave her kidney, she was 11.
Wow. His name?
I didn't get a name.
Okay. Let's be in prayer for both the son and the sister and for their health. Yes, sir.
A good friend at our church, Barry, had brain surgery for a tumor. That's been saying he's currently unresponsive. So it's prayer for Barry, Kathy,
Barry?
And their girls.
Okay. And the family.
Okay.
Let's be in prayer for Barry and the family. So, yes, sir.
Martha told us yesterday evening that Mark fell and broke his wrist.
Who did? Mark Martin? Boy, I leave the country and he falls apart. Good grief. All right, we'll be in prayer for Mark. My goodness. Thank you for telling me that. Okay. Yes, Eve?
Mark also heard his knee real badly.
Mark hurt his elbow and his knee?
His wrist.
Wrist and his knee.
He went into the doctor to have his knee looked at because he had hurt his knee.
Yeah.
He slipped and fell and broke his wrist. So then they had surgery on the wrist and now they're going to have to go back.
Shelly, you got to be careful of doctors. So, well, we'll definitely be in prayer for Mark and Martha and the family. My goodness, absolutely. All right, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Thomas, how are you doing?
Good.
We would not know the miracle that's happened to your body if we took your analogy. Good. You're doing great, and we're very happy and proud of that. All right. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. If you're visiting here, our understanding of giving, and I'm just going to jump right out there and offend some people right off front. Tithing is not in the New Testament. Tithing is not for the church. Tithing is an Old Testament taxation. Unbelievers had to give their tithes. Believers had to give their tithes. Everyone had to give their tithes to the nation. It was a tax system. It was a nation of Israel. The church is not a nation. Church is worldwide. So as far as giving is concerned, it's as you are led by the Holy Spirit. It is as God prospers you. These are right from the Word of God, the New Testament. So giving, the great issue, one is being a believer in Jesus Christ, but I like to emphasize not just being a believer in Christ, but to know how to be led of the Holy Spirit, that what you give is under the leading of the Holy Spirit. How are you led by the Holy Spirit? The same principle that we're saved. Colossians 2:6, as you have received Him, walk. So we received Him by faith in Jesus Christ. We're filled with the Holy Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit guides and directs us in such things as giving. So, with these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, it is a privilege, not a burden on our finances, to give to the support of the teaching of the Word of God and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ to both believers and unbelievers. And Father, we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, and you will continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel in the many ways that you have given to us, the many ways that you are allowing us to spread the gospel and the Word of God. And Father, we pray now that you receive these offerings, continue to use them for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Speaking. All right, so now I'm speaking, not singing. All right, we have a wonderful day planned, and I don't want to take any more time from it, but I do want to say that when we're through with our teen challenge, our graduation challenge, and then we'll have a communion, and you're all invited to stay and have communion with us, a dinner, luncheon time, fellowship with each other. Let us get to meet the graduates and just have some good time together in that respect, all for the glory of God and our eternal remembrance. So what I want to do at this point is turn everything over to Chris Daigh. And Chris, you come forward and take charge now, okay?
So, we're going to have a little bit of fun this morning. And Herman's got has a challenge for you guys. But I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about our graduates. And, you know, we've got different relationships with different folks. So, Gillette we see a couple times a year. Thomas we see a couple times a week. Hannah and Addie, you know, we get to see, it depends on the week. Sometimes we see a lot. I've seen Hannah more in the last month than I've seen you in, like, the last year. So we've got different relationships with all of these young people, young adults, now that they're going through their graduation. They're moving into adulthood. They would tell you that they were adults a long time ago. We'll tell them, though, they won't be adults to us until they're, like, 60. But we've had an amazing chance to get to work with young people over the last few years, and these guys have been a major part of that time. And so, to start out with, I think Lori said we need to get you guys doing a little exercise this morning. So, if you actually grads, would you guys go ahead and stand up? You've already graduated, right? Have you had your commencement ceremony already, Gillette? All right, and you guys are next week. All right, so I'll just refer to you as graduates, although jury's still out on a couple of you, right? Okay, so would you guys stand up for just a second? Okay, so turn around and face these guys. I won't make you do this for very long, all right? This is not... But we're going to have a little bit of fun. If you're related to these guys. Would you stand up? Would you go ahead and stand up if you're related to them? Any of these four young people? Related. Related. Not. Don't go all the way back to like Noah related. But if you're generally related, you know, a couple of generations, a couple of, you know, separations, whatever you call that thing. Okay, so you can see how many people are related to these four young people. If you have been involved with the camps, or if you've been involved with the SLAM or the youth groups teaching, whatever the case, if you've been involved with these four, any of these four, please stand up. Okay, so if you have been involved with our youth ministry from prayer, financial support, physical support, I don't know, cleaning up after us, whatever the case might, please stand up. If you've prayed for these guys, if you've prayed for the ministry, if you've given, if you've bought something from our fundraisers, and if you haven't, we'll catch you after the fact. Please stand up. So if you look around the room for just a second, every single one of us have had some sort of an involvement with these young people. And even the other young people that are in the room, because these guys have been mentors and teachers to them, and we have been mentors and teachers to these fine young people here. Please go ahead and grab a seat, please. We'll do it again in just a second. No, just kidding. But we've got a small church, and you know, we get this many folks come into our youth group, our Sunday morning, Sunday school on a regular basis. But yet, we've got brothers and sisters of these guys. We've got, every week, we've got 30 or more kids coming to the youth groups in Plano and Wiley. And it's just been an amazing experience, amazing honor to be involved with the youth ministry at Spring Valley Bible Church. Liberty Youth Group. We specifically call it Liberty Youth Group and not Spring Valley Bible Church Youth Group, because a majority, in fact, a big majority of the young people that are involved with our youth ministry go to other churches, or they don't go to a church at all, or they have something else going on in their life. And so we wanted to make sure that everybody knows, look, we're the body of Christ, and it's all about Him, and that's the important part. It's not about the church that you go to. It's not about the name on the building. It's about the name in the building. It's about Jesus Christ. So 4 years ago, when the responsibility for the youth camp was handed over to Spring Valley Bible Church, this church embraced it fully. As you can see, everybody has been involved with youth ministry. And even if you haven't gone out and gotten muddy and stayed up really late and run through the gamut of craziness up at camp, but you've sat here and prayed for the safety and prayed for the message and prayed for the teachers and prayed for the folks that are involved, that's absolutely every bit as important, if not more so, than us crazy people who run around up there and get muddy and get really tired and spend the face-to-face time with these kids. So we've seen the Lord work through this small congregation in absolutely amazing ways. Today we're recognizing two young ladies, two young men, that have been a big part of the youth ministry over the past several years. They're reaching a major milestone in their life. They are now getting ready to go to different places, go do different things. They're out of high school. Mom and dad will still try to tell you what to do, but you'll listen even less. It's just what we do. When, right, we graduate from high school, we now know everything. Please just get out of our way. I was there. It took me many, many years to figure out I knew nothing, but I'll let you guys figure that on your own. We're very excited to have them here today. We're also very excited to have their families here today. So we've got families in the room. Let's see, Jerry and Tedra, parents, right? Addie's parents. We've got Terry and Rick. You guys are back here in the back. All right, Mike and Tracy. There you go. Okay, I was sitting right behind you. All right, and Jay and Lori over here. I know some of the parents better than I know others, but I wanted to take a second to start with the parents. In Proverbs 2:26, it says, "Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." They're graduating from high school. They're getting ready to take off and go do their thing. And some of them are going to go far away, and some of them are going to stay close. And some of them are going to be really close and be far away. And others will be really far away, and you won't be able to get rid of them. But the fact is that they're going to have to make their decisions as to how they're going to live their lives. And we have set a foundation. We, the parents, we hopefully, you know, the things that we've done with them in involvement in the youth group, we've set a foundation on the Lord. And it's about Jesus Christ. And it's about being focused on Him. Now, this proverb says, and when he is old, he or she, when he or she is old, they will not depart from it. That kind of implies that between the time they're young and the time they get old, there may be some departures. Has anybody ever had a departure from the Lord during their young, during their youth? Please leave your hands down. This was a rhetorical question. Now, we're not telling you you guys should take off and go immediately depart from the Lord because the proverb says you have to wait till you're old to come back. Otherwise, you're not following the Word of God, right? It could be taught that way, but I would recommend that you avoid that at all costs. But the fact is that they're going to make some decisions. We've done what we can do. Our son graduated last year, and he had to make his decisions. Well, guess what? These guys, now you get to make your decisions, and you get to choose. You get to run off to college and decide whether Sunday morning you're going to figure out some way to get rid of the raging headache or whether you're going to head over and go to church. I'll give you a piece of advice. The best way to get rid of a raging headache from the night before is to go to church, because then maybe next week you won't have that same raging headache. But you're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to make your decisions, right? But you guys have raised your kids in the ways of the Lord, and they will not depart from it. They may depart from it, but when they're old, they'll come back to it. And we had a friend, some of you all know, we were talking about Tyler Patton now last month. And Tyler passed away in a car wreck. He was 18 years old, getting ready to graduate with these guys. In spirit, he's here with us. He didn't get the chance to get old, but his parents raised him in the way of the Lord. And now he's spending eternity coming back to his, back with his Savior. And so, whether old is old on this earth or old is eternity in heaven, guess what? Raise your children in the way of the Lord and they will return to Him. It's a promise. It's a promise from God. And you guys have done that with these young people, and it's absolutely amazing. It's so fun to watch these guys. So now we'll take a moment away from the parents and we'll go back to you guys. So now I got some great stories on you guys. Are you ready for this? Actually, I was very kind. Miss Lori would not allow me to embarrass you guys too terribly. But these are very four unique kids with very different goals and dreams. But they have one thing in common: Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus Christ they have in common. And they will always have that in common. Guess what? You can't get rid of them. That's pretty cool. That's the faithfulness not of us. That's the faithfulness of our Savior. He says, look, you guys can run from me, but I'm still here. You can hide from me, but I still see you. Right? He's with us all the time. And that's number one taken away when you go off to college or wherever that you're going to go. But over the last several years, we've had, many of us have had the opportunity to observe them and observe the things that they do in the Lord in different ways. It's been quite an honor to get to watch these guys. And like I say, some more than others, but what an amazing chance to get to see some of the things that they do in serving their Lord. And stories, so I had to get some stories. I don't have a whole bunch of stories, so I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to embarrass all of you guys. But I'll start with Hannah, because Hannah has been involved with our youth ministry through camps and with going over to Larry's house, Larry and Brian's house. And I've gotten to see Hannah last year as a junior counselor. And we asked Hannah to be a junior counselor with the oldest group. And that's kind of tough, right? You're still in high school, and now you got these kids that are getting ready to go to high school, and they know even more than you know, and you know everything, right? So, and if you've ever met those kids, right, you guys know everything. It's just the way that it works. They're all in the back corner going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he's talking about it. But Hannah brings such a unique fun to camp, to being with these kids, this stomp dance thing that just blows my mind. And she's over there, you know, and all of a sudden she's, you know, slapping her legs and stomping her feet and doing all this rhythm thing, and the next thing you know, everybody's standing around watching her. And it's just cool. She's just a leader amongst her peers. She's a leader amongst the young people, and they just respect her. They just respect Hannah. So she got to be a junior counselor with the oldest kids last year, and her sister was even in there, right? And you were like, oh my gosh, my sister's going to be a junior counselor. I won't get away with anything. No. And I asked her this year, I said, hey, you know, we're thinking about putting you in a different place because, you know, I know that was kind of tough last year. She said, no, it's good. Because she loves these kids, and they respect her, and it's just fun to watch Hannah just work with these young people and be such a leader. She just always has a smile and always has a great attitude. And she's quite a neat mentor to these kids. So switching to Addie. So Addie Ault. Addie was a junior counselor with our young people last year. So she's been to camp. Was last year your first year at camp? I mean, then you get to slam camp, right? So she came back a second time. So whoo-hoo. She something's going right or wrong. I don't know. Whatever. But she's... Addie's one of those people that reaches out to others. She loves people, and she loves her friends, and she reaches out to these young people that others maybe wouldn't be so willing to reach out to. Kids that are challenged, kids that have really tough things going on in their lives, kids where if you got enough going on in your life, you don't want to deal with their stuff, she does it anyway. And she's brought kids to youth group. She's brought kids over to mentor with Lori. And it's just really, really cool to watch Addie as she reaches out to others and watching her love others that others people reject. The thing is, when you're hanging out with Addie and you're having a conversation with Addie, you'll have to stop for a minute and realize this because it's very subtle, but the conversation's never about Addie. The conversation's about you. The conversation is always about the other person, and it's a pretty cool thing to see. She's never focused on herself. And then we've got Gillette. So Gillette, I have to tell a little bit of a funny story, all right? So Gillette, he was a junior counselor last year. The boys loved Gillette up at camp, and it was pretty funny because I think they flat wore him out. Plus, we kept him up all night. He got a few naps in there every couple of times. But hey, you know what? Overall, it was cool because I'm sitting here watching Gillette get up with a whole group of young boys. Who was in there? Ben, were you in that last year? Or was anybody even here? There was. Yeah, so I'll skip to the point, huh? It was those guys. Sorry. There's this song called Call Me Maybe. Right? And I can just, I mean, every time I think of Gillette, I think of Gillette in a lot of really cool ways. But I just see Gillette up there just going to town at the talent show with these guys behind him just doing the dance and the Call Me Maybe, and the music's blaring, and these guys were having a great time. And he's just a fun guy to be around. Quiet, kind of sits in the background, and then every once in a while you see him right out in the middle of everything just going crazy and having a good time. And it's just really, really cool. We only get to see Gillette about once a year, but what a neat young man. Always respectful, always trying to do the right thing, and just really is willing to get in there and do what needs to be done, serving others. Like I say, we see him mostly at camp, but that's the one thing I found out. Up at camp, the first couple of days, maybe they can get away with having a little bit of, you know, you got the barrier on and you got the right persona around. But by the third or fourth day in camp, you're too tired to have that persona anymore, so we really get to see what you are. And other than a couple of naps, actually, I only caught Gillette one time sleeping. And I actually told him to go back to sleep, so it was all cool. But he just is who he is, you know, and he has a good time with these guys, and he serves the young people, and is a part of that. So, the last person I wanted to talk about, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about you, Thomas, because we talk about you all the time, and it's one of the most uncomfortable things I think you have to go through, right? So, other than fighting cancer, us talking about his fighting cancer was probably more painful. What an awesome young man. And so, watching Thomas's faith through his challenges with cancer, watching his family's faith with his challenges through cancer. He's our miracle kid. But he has spent his time, he came to youth group and talked to the kids about some of the things that he was going through. And he wasn't talking about all of the issues and all the woe is me. and oh, how I am a miracle, but he was talking about sharing his faith with others. And he was talking about how God brought him through this, and he shared his faith with these kids up at the hospital. He's just a quiet leader, and he's a kid that actually really wholeheartedly lives his faith. He just finished his Eagle Scout project, right? So he's an Eagle Scout. Okay, almost. You got to go through the board or something. Okay, but other than, you know, act of God, you're going to get it. Yeah, okay. You're going to get it, or Terry's going to have a bit of an act of God kind of thing, right? Okay, your mom. All right, so he finished his Eagle Scout project. You know, I have to think that if I had gone through all that Thomas had gone through from a health standpoint, the last place I would want to be is a hospital. And correct me if I got this wrong, but his Eagle Scout project was preparing and personally delivering care packages in the hospital to young kids that have cancer, pretty much. That's service. I mean, that's love. God says lay down your life for your friends. That's how you define love, right? And Thomas, well, one, almost laid down his life, and God said, nope, not time for you to go. And two, has turned around and gone back into the hospitals to talk to these young people and give them a bit of hope, and a bit of hope through the care packages, a smile, a conversation, and I know he's sharing his faith all the time. So Herman's going to give him the challenge. He's got the... You are ready for that, right? Okay, just check. Hey, he's been out like on vacation for a week. We got to check. It's really weird when your pastor goes on vacation. You lose track of what's going on. So what I would like to do is, because of the challenges coming up, I want to make sure you guys get your Bibles, that we've purchased you guys a Bible from Spring Valley Bible Church, from Liberty Youth Ministry. Pastor Maddox has put a... Can I read what he put in here? It says... we're going to hand these out, but this is what it puts, what he wrote in the front, if I can get it to open. It says, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. It says, Herman Maddox, John 3, 34 and 35. You guys know what John 3, 34 and 35 is? I know you guys know it. You know it? Huh? All right, everybody open your Bibles to John 3, 34 and 35. I'm sorry. I think it's John 13, 34 and 35. Did that mess you guys up? Sorry, guys. John 13, 34 and 35. Somebody, one of you guys read that for me, and then we'll hand out the Bibles and turn it over to Pastor Maddox. Somebody read it? I'm looking to the back. Somebody read it. All right, one of you guys want to read it? You got it, Gillette? John 13, 34 and 35. That's it, right? Jesus said, love one another as he loved us. And that's the way that people will know that we are his disciples. Love one another as he loved us. How did he love us? Unconditionally. He loved us with everything he has, everything that he is, to the point of giving up his own life and his separation from the Father for our sins. How do we love one another? It's not by judging. It's not by going out there and being cool. It's by being just like Christ and laying our lives down for others. So, here's what we will do. Let's have the young ladies come up here first. Addie and Hannah, if you'll come up here real quick. Pastor Maddox, if you want to give them their Bibles. And there we go. There's Addie's. There's Hannah's. Hold on, we're going to get pictures. We'll have you guys.
Absolutely, young girls.
So many places I can. Guys, come on up. Thomas Howlett and Gillette Langston.
Thomas, the Word of God, make it your
Yes, come on over here and get a picture.
Apologize for getting here at the closing, or at the very beginning, after it already really started. Got to bed about 1:30 last night, so. Okay, I'm talking primarily to these four young people. I'm talking primarily to any young person. I'm talking to all of you. But I'm going to target these graduates. Let me start off by saying, you are not here to change the world. I would not dare put that on you. You're not here to change the world. The world is going to pass away. Only what's done for Christ is going to go into eternity. You are here to be a witness for Christ. That's why you are here. Now, we congratulate you, your parents, your teachers, everyone who took the time to mentor this process of your life, your education, so far. You have worked hard. You have completed a set of academic skills, knowledge, and requirements that are necessary. Your parents, your teachers, and mentors work to provide you with the environment and the guidance and encouragement for your graduation, to stay the course, to enable you to dream, to discern what you want to do with your lives. They, parents probably, and teachers to some degree, they have nagged you and nagged you and nagged you. Get up, get to school, brush your teeth, do your homework, be in bed before 4 in the morning, all these kind of things. They have worked hard, so we congratulate you. Now, this short season that you're in between now and whenever you start your course, if it's college in September or so, whatever it is, you got a short time to celebrate. To celebrate your hard work, your perseverance, your achievements, and your hopes, your dreams while in high school. I want you to enjoy this time. Enjoy it immensely. I graduated from high school, I've graduated from college, I graduated from seminary. None of those memories are as valuable and as imprinted on my mind as graduating from high school. I won't go through those. Now, but they're memories you will keep, I guarantee you. Now, you're moving from dependence to independence. You're moving from depending on your parents, depending on mom, depending on dad, depending on things, depending on people, to independence. Simple things mom and dad are not going to be doing for you anymore. And tell you to get up, tell you to brush your teeth, do your homework, be there, be this. You're moving from being dependent to independent, which means it is up to you. It is up to you individually to choose a church, go to the church you want to go to, not go to church at all, whatever you want, it's up to you. It's no longer your parents going to be able to ramrod you. Most of us went to this church because that's where our parents went. We're not regretting that or anything, but that's basically the way it is. So it behooves the parent to be wise on where they go to church, where they rear their children, where they teach their children. But you're at a point now, you can decide what you want. You want a church that's a lot of fun when you go to college or life, work, whatever. Or you want a church that's going to teach you the Word of God. It's up to you to pick the church that you will go to. So it's no longer up to anyone else but you. Now, our church has set aside this day to celebrate all your achievements that you have made. I know that you will not remember 10 or 12 points, but you might remember one. I do not remember my high school speech. I don't even know if we had one. I do not remember my college speech. I vaguely remember my seminary speech. Now, here's seminary. 4 years of graduate work. Young men going out to face the world about Christ. And do you know what he talked about primarily? Preachers shouldn't speed when they're driving. I mean, that's what I remember. I sat there and went, what? You're sending me into the world to teach and preach at church and all this, and what you want to tell me, don't speed when I'm driving? So, I've got one lesson. Maybe you'll remember it, maybe you won't. It'll be up to you. And that one lesson is this. You're not here to change the world. You're here to represent Christ. That's what you're here for. You're not here to make the world a better place to live. That's not on your backs. You're here to represent Christ. If you have personally believed in Christ, and I think all four of you have personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, I hope that you now are left with, what are you going to do with your life? What's going to be the driving factor? Am I going to be a witness for Christ, or am I going to be on for my own self? So it's going to be up to you to decide these things. I have a warning and a challenge with the one point. Now, most people here know, and I'm going to make this kind of short today. I want you to remember just one thing. You're not here to change the world. You're here to be a witness of Christ. I'm known for teaching for at least an hour or so, but I'm going to make it very brief this morning because I just want that driven into your soul. And the first thing I want to start off with is a warning. Jeremiah, Isaiah, the prophets of the Old Testament were written with warnings. Now, some people listen to warnings. Some people totally ignore them. A few people pay strict attention to the warnings given. Now, it is up to you to decide what you'll do with these warnings. And I want to tell you, I graduated from high school over 50 years ago, and what I'm getting ready to talk about would not have been able to be talked about 50 years ago. The world has changed that much in my lifetime. So I'm going to deal with some warnings, and it is up to you what you're going to do. America, the nation that you're graduating into, is changing and has changed, and it's not changed for the good. America and the world's view toward Jesus Christ has changed, not for the good. America and the world's view toward God has changed, and not for the good. The world's view toward America's view and the world's view toward the Bible has changed, and it is not for the good. Freedom of speech is no longer freedom. My day and time, freedom of speech was valued, but it is no longer an applicable principle. You can say whatever you want in our society against Christianity, but you do not say anything against homosexuals. You do not say anything against Muslims. You cannot voice your opinion in the public if your opinion is against the popular view. If it's not politically correct. No longer is this a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It's a government of the government, by the government, and for the government. That's your society. That's what you're graduating into. This is no longer a Christian nation. Technically, no nation is a Christian nation. There has never been one. But this nation was founded, it is a proven fact, on biblical principles. The three branches of government are straight from Isaiah. So, our country was founded on the biblical principles. But, this nation has gradually, strategically, Satan has strategically removed that book. It has strategically removed it from the judicial system. So they do not have to have any absolutes of norms and standards to make judicial decisions. It has been removed from our educational system. So they do not have to teach creation. They can teach evolution. There is no Bible. There are no norms and standards. And it has, for all practical purposes, been removed from a multitude of churches. Because preachers don't want to offend people. Get lots of people, 10,000 people. Don't say anything critical, but get 10,000 people there. The Bible has technically been removed from churches. There are churches who put anti-Christian, Muslim, Quran, and the Bible right next to each other. You're living in a difficult world. A difficult world. Your job is not to change it. Your job is one thing. Represent Jesus Christ in this world. Now, it's time to open your new Bibles that you have received. And you're going, let's open your Bibles to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John. And like I like to tell people, if you don't know where it is, that's what the table of content is for. It's the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I want to tell you about the world you're moving into. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Now, Gillette read the earlier passage. One of you ladies read verse 18 for me. John 15, 18. Okay. People, and that if, just tell you from the Greek, that's what we call a first-class condition. It's true. It could be translated, since the world hates you. And that's what you're graduating in. I didn't graduate into that kind of world. The world didn't hate Christians when I graduated from high school. But it does today. And it hates you, but it hated Jesus Christ before it hated you. So, this is the first part of the warning stage of my challenge for you. It's a warning. The world hates you. It does not want to hear about Christ. Just be warned of that. Now we come to the challenge. You have to make up your mind where Jesus Christ is going to fit into your life, into your life's decisions, picking friends. It's just amazing. In high school, well, we have friends and buddies, and we're going to be friends for life and all that. We don't even know where they are in September. They're gone. We're gone. We're starting a whole new thing. Military, college, whatever it is. Who are you going to pick as your friends? Your marriage. Who are you going to marry? What's going to be the foundation of your marriage? Is it going to be looks? Is it going to be money? Or is it going to be their stand in Christ? What's it going to be? Your priorities. Make up your mind what you're here for. Make up your mind what your marriage is about. What your life is about. I love the quote by Billy Graham. I'm going to give it to you. It's tough, but I love it. We cannot truly face life until we face the fact that it will be taken away from us. That's a fact. Taylor's taken away at 17. I don't know when he's going to take your lives, neither do you. But it is going to be taken. Know that. Now you're ready for life. You're ready to value it. You're ready to appreciate it. You're ready to make something of it. And let me just, it's not in my notes, but let me just jump in and tell you something. Being a witness of Christ, being not here to change the world, not here for yourself, but to be a witness of Christ, is not a boring life. I have had fun every stage of my life. My wife is bored at hearing my stories of my high school, my college, my seminary, my military, everything. I've had a ball. I had a ball this week. I was with two other pastors, and we had a ball. You could have fun in Christ. And you don't have to seek it. It just is there. It's one of those blessings that God gives us. So, you have to make up your mind what you're going to do with your life. There is nothing more important. I tell you right now, nothing more important to you than to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, quoting Peter, in the Word of God. Your knowledge of Christ. There is nothing more important. I realize this is a sobering thought for such a happy occasion that your life is going to be taken from you, but it's a true one. And you got to let it guide you. Take advantage of every day. There is nothing more important than to grow in the knowledge of Christ. As you leave home, it is up to you to find the church where the Word of God is taught. That's my greatest challenge to you. Find a church where the Word of God is taught. Not where they have great music or a bowling alley or fun or whatever. Find a church where the Word of God is taught. Let's see if you can find the Old Testament. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5. Have you found it, Thomas? No? All right, Thomas, read for us Proverbs 3, 5. People, that's tough. Let me just tell you something. We want to lean on our understanding. One of the greatest challenges to me every day that I sit behind my desk is to be sure I don't put in what I want to think, what I want the text to say. I want the Holy Spirit to show me what the text says. We're prone to lean in our own understanding about everything. You cannot do that. Find a church. Get involved in it. Get involved with the people in it. Tell them, share with them about Jesus Christ. It is not my purpose really to frighten you with all these things, like the quote from Billy Graham, but now I want you to turn to James 4. James 4. James 4. And we're going to read two verses. Think about them. James 4. James 4 after Hebrews. And let's look at verse 13. Come now, you who say. All right, this is what we do. Graduate, ready to go out on our own. Today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make lots of money. That's what a lot of people have their goal and objective in life, especially in America. It's about success. It's about money. Verse 14. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Talk to any person around 70 years of age and they'll tell you it goes fast. It doesn't look like it's going to go fast for y'all. I'll never get to 70. Yeah, you will. God permits it, you will. But it's just a vapor, and it vanishes away. What are you going to do with your short time on earth? What are you going to do as that with that vapor, the short time? This is how brief your life is. Value it. Get an eternal perspective. You're not here to change this world. Get an eternal perspective of that which is for all eternity. Get that kind of a perspective. But the principle of James 4, 13 and 14 is God has a will for your life. Find it and get with it. How will you spend your short life? God has given you. Some people fun. That's just all they have in mind. Just fun. And they seek it. And they grab for it. They never achieve it. It's just amazing about people who want a lot of fun. It's got to be better the next time. It's got to be better the next time. Some people, it's money, success. And you never have too much money. So no matter how successful you are, you want to make more. More money. Some really have no idea at all. And I'll tell you what. If any of you fit that pattern, I don't mind. Settle down and get it. Make it Jesus Christ. A few realize that their life is about representing Christ on earth. You're not here to change the world. Or even change America. Don't put your time and energy in the Constitution of this country. Let me tell you what John Adams wrote, one of the founding fathers. Our Constitution was made only for a moral, religious, meaning Christian, people. It is, listen now, the Constitution is wholly inadequate to govern any other. It's not going to govern an immoral people. What did he mean? Let me give you an example of what he meant. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay? Let's say some people's ideal of the pursuit of happiness is immorality, homosexuality, lesbianism, sexual freedom, on and on. Our Constitution gives them the right to do that. As citizens under the Constitution, we can't be against homosexual marriage. As Christians, yes. But as Americans, no. That's why our Constitution is not adequate. Because people can decide what they want for the pursuit of happiness. And they have the freedom to do it. That's what he meant. No Bibles. Let me put it this way. The Satan system, overruling what's happening in America and in the world, is to get rid of the Bible. Get rid of it. Make it non-effective in the judicial system. Therefore, you can make decisions judicially with no absolute standards. Get rid of it in the educational system. Therefore, you don't even have to talk about creationism. Everything is absolute evolution. No, it is not. But that's what they can now teach, because there is no Bible. Our current president spoke of changing the Constitution in his first book. But people, you're not here to make this a better nation. Remember that. You're not here to make this a better world. You're here to tell individuals about Jesus Christ. Christianity is not for the masses. He fed 5,000. Saves one at a time. Saves one at a time. One at a time we tell others about Jesus Christ. This nation will pass away. Let's say you are able to get, and I babble like a fool, but let's just say you made that your goal and you got it to where no one sinned. They're still going to hell. That isn't the objective. The objective is in Christ. That's our objective. Get an eternal perspective to bring others to Jesus Christ. What you first have to do, make up your mind and then be committed. You've got to be committed. Look in your new Bibles to Psalm 37. If you don't know where Psalm is, just open it up to the middle of the Bible. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will cause you to be an effective witness for Christ if you set that and are committed to that. You are not here to change the world. You're not here to make it a better place. You're not to go on a crusade against homosexuals, not a crusade against abortion, not a this crusade, that crusade. Get rid of sin. Get rid of immorality. You're here to tell the world about Christ crucified and resurrected and eternity. This is just a vapor. The great issue is the future. Look at James 1. You know where James is, so look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's go to one of our past graduates. Cameron, have you found that? Nope, okay. All right, James chapter 1, verse 12. James 1, 12. Blessed is the man, or woman, of course, who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. People, this is an eternity. This is an eternity. Like if you decide to go to college, I don't know what each of your decisions are, but if you do, what you made a decision, you made a very important decision. The next four, just to generalize it, the next 4 years are not about me. I want to learn. I want to accomplish something. Now, let's take this person over here. I don't want to invest those 4 years. I want to get out and start making money right now. I want to get out and start living right now. You have set aside that freedom and said, no, I'm giving up these 4 years for something after that. Okay, what I'm here to tell you is there's something after this life. And it's an eternity. And God has a crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. This isn't my study, but who loves Him? How do you love the Lord? Not with flesh. Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace. Understand? So you've got to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I have some more encouraging news bulletin for you. In all probability, I know this isn't going to sound good, but in all probability, one or more of you will experience a real failure. I mean a real failure in your life. It may be sin. It may be a bad decision. But I want you to understand something. Don't stay down. Get up. You have the will and the commitment to get up and keep moving to glorify Christ. Do not listen to legalists who tell you because you have fallen in some way that really horrified them, God can no longer use you. That is a lie from Satan. That is a lie from Satan. I challenge you sometime on a rainy day, if we ever get any more rainy days, read Hebrews 11. And you'll find men, women, after another. And all of them have had great failures. Not one failure is mentioned. It's the great grace chapter of the Bible, Hebrews 11. Grace, trophies of the Bible. You know who's in that trophy list? Samson. Oh, he did horrible things. He's in the great list of great believers in the Bible. Not one mention of one bad thing. The world will never let you forget bad. Christians probably won't let you forget it. God forgets it. Move on. Forget those things that are behind. Strive on to the things that lie ahead. So just spend your time sometime. Read chapter 11. All right, I want to close with 1 Corinthians. Let's all find 1 Corinthians, please. Chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians. 15. Besides being a great chapter, it ends greatly. Let's look at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, who gives to us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of Christ, knowing, there's the big secret, knowing, how do you know from the Word of God, that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You're not here to change the world, you're here to represent Christ. Changing the world, it's a big burden. Satan's been trying to change the world since the Tower of Babel under Nimrod. And he always through history has this changing the world, making it a better place. He never has done it. Christ will do it in the millennium. You're not here to do that. That's a burden you don't want to put on yourself. You have one objective. Be a witness of Christ. Let others know about Jesus Christ. Time, eternity. Is eternity real? That's my challenge. You're not here to change the world. You're here to represent Jesus Christ. All right, let's close in a word of prayer and then get ready for our communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these young people. The day is not far away when all of us old fogies will be gone. You will have promoted us home. It will be their responsibility to represent Christ. It will be their responsibility to carry the Word of God, to believe it, to live it, to proclaim it. Proclaim your Son. Father, I pray that your Spirit will cause them to understand things that we've looked at in the text, understand that their life is but a vapor, and they better make good use of it. Father, just pray that these things will be done by your Spirit. We thank you so much for this morning that we have the opportunity, Father, to bring them to this knowledge, bring this to this understanding. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we're going to have the communion service, and I don't know where all of you have gone to go to church. Different churches have different traditions. Traditions. Not necessarily from the Word of God. Like, for an example, when do we do it? How often do we do it? Not in the Word of God. Some churches do it every time they meet. Some do it once a week. Some do it once a month. We do it once a month. That's our custom. Then there's a lot of rules who can serve it. Only certain people can serve communion. I don't know where that came from. that's a harsh rule and burden to put on you about the ritual of the communion service. For an example, during World War I and II, women are over here in a prison, and only a preacher is allowed to serve communion. So they can never have communion? I don't think so. They certainly can. There's no rules about who can serve it. It's about what it means. It's not the ritual. Ritual without reality is meaningless. And understand what it means. There are two elements. One element is bread. That represents Jesus Christ as God, choosing to take the form of man, the body of mankind, taking our place, bearing the burden of all sins on the cross. The cup represents the new covenant. The new covenant is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus Christ left, the disciples were in a quandary. What do we do? Where do we go? You went to Jerusalem, we followed you. You went to Samaria, we followed you. You went to Galilee, we followed you. What are we supposed to do when you leave? See, let me tell you a little secret. They walked by sight. They didn't walk by faith. They walked by sight. Now, Jesus Christ is not here. So he sent us another one just like him, God, but invisible. That is the Holy Spirit. Now we walk by the Holy Spirit. You can go wherever you go with the Holy Spirit. You go wherever the Holy Spirit leads you. You go wherever the Holy Spirit leads you. You go wherever the Holy Spirit leads you. Go in all these different directions representing Christ. We don't all walk in the same direction. And I'm thankful for that. We don't all go to the same church. I'm thankful for that. The Holy Spirit leads and uses us all in many different directions. That's what the cup is about. Now, it is our custom that everyone hold the bread when it's passed around, and we take communion. When we take communion with him, we take communion as a corporate body of believers at the same time. Same thing with the cup. So let's prepare ourselves for the communion and the passing out of the bread. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, I do not know, matters the Lord gave to me. That in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. Now that bothered me. Where did that come from? That's not in the Jewish Passover. I didn't know where that came from. So I went to the Livewire Dallas Seminary and spent a couple of hours. And it was very simple. In Jeremiah, the word breaking of the bread is used. It's the only place, one place, outside of the communion supper. And the context of it fits perfectly what happened in the night in which the Lord has observed the last Passover and the first communion service. A friend of yours just lost someone they love, maybe their parent, their husband, their wife, their children, somebody. And they removed all the leaven from their house, and they've not eaten all day, burying them, the person that they loved. So they're going over to their house, and you sit down with them, you have a little bag, and you pull out of that bag one loaf of bread, one piece of bread, not two or three, just one. And you take that bread, and you break it. It's called the bread of comfort in Jeremiah, because you're comforting them. They've not eaten all day, so you give them this bread, you break it, and what do you do when you break it? You're showing them, I share your sorrow. I share your hurt. And one of the disciples was there in the upper room. Jesus Christ broke the bread. He's the one that's going to suffer. But he is sharing with them their sorrow over what's getting ready to happen. So you take the bread and you break it. And you share with them their sorrow. And the bread is the first thing they've generally eaten that day. And it gives them some stability, some strength in their stomach, in their body. And that's what is happening with the breaking of the bread. The bread is one thing, the breaking of it is another. It's sharing their sorrow. And it's called the bread of comfort in Jeremiah. And what he said is, just do it in remembrance of me. Every time you meet, take the bread, break it, share it, in remembrance of me. That's it. Oh, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the 3 hours of darkness on the cross. That was in just 3 hours. That he bore the judgment of all the sins of the world, taking away the minus, taking away the sin problem. That did not save us, but it had to be done. The Father, we are most grateful for what Christ accomplished on the cross in his body, taking away the judgment that we deserve for our sins. Father, we praise you for our Savior, and it is but a joy to represent him and tell others of Jesus Christ. His precious name we pray. Amen. It is our custom that everyone hold a cup till everyone has been served, that when we take communion with him, we take communion with each other. Thank you. Then you reach into your bag and you pull out a little jug. The jug has wine, fermented wine. And you pour some wine in a cup for them, and you pour wine for your cup. This is called the wine to strengthen, to encourage. The bread is a bread of comfort. The cup is a cup of encouragement, encouragement to go on and live now. You're, whoever the person was, home with the Lord now, if that be the case. And you got to go on living, though. You're here. You got to go on living. But I'm not leaving you alone. I'm leaving you with another helper just like me, only you will not see him. That is the Holy Spirit. So the cup represents the leading of the Holy Spirit to everyone who is righteous. See, there are two parts of the gospel. Always remember this, young graduates. Two parts of the gospel. A negative and a positive. The negative is the removal of all sins. That doesn't save. But it has to be done. There's a positive, and that is the plus of righteousness. It is the righteousness that God sees that causes justification. And so, how do we get that righteousness? By faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes in Christ is imputed with righteousness. The sins of everyone are forgiven. Unbelievers, believers. At the great white throne judgment, sins will not be mentioned. Why not? Those are horrible people. Those are unbelievers as sins. Because Christ bore them on the cross. They're not saved, though. Salvation is dependent on the plus. And the plus is the righteousness. 10 questions of Job make this very clear. It's the cup of righteousness. The righteousness that is imputed to us. And there is the basis of his justification. So Paul says, in the same manner, after supper, after the Passover, he took a cup. Now, the Passover, the bread, is for all people. A cup is for the church. It's for the church. For believers in the church age. We are here to walk in the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you do this in remembrance of me. Now, in closing, a challenge to our graduates. Let's turn to page 281. I hope I'm right on that. 281. Let's see if I'm right. Oh, my friends and neighbors, I did it. All right, 281. James, you don't have to read it, you know it. So come up and lead us in. We've a story to tell to the nation. This is our message to our young graduates.
To tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right, a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to daylight, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. With a song to be sung to the nation that should lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that should conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword, and shatter the spear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to daylight, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a message to give to the nations, that the Lord who reigneth above has sent us his Son to save us and show us that God is love, and show us that God is love. kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We must go with the show to the nation, to the pass of sorrow and strong. Let all of the world's great people may come to the truth of God. May come to the truth of God. The darkness should turn to gold, even and Christ's great kingdom shall come.
Again, invite all of you to stay for our communion dinner and enjoy the fellowship together. And because we want to be nosy. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to do? What's happening? So I hope all of you will be able to stay. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning of celebration. We thank you that in celebration we have a challenge. That these young people, Heavenly Father, are going from dependence to independence, but always dependent upon you, your Son, and your Word. Father, we pray that your Spirit will take the things that we've seen, let them nourish our souls and our bodies and our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.